Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz writes in several of his svarim that when a gavur rabba is nifter, when even any yid is nifter, there is a void that needs to be filled, because every neshama adds something unique to this world, and it's incumbent upon those that are, that he was shavak chayim l'chol chay, those that are still in this world and haven't finished yet their avoda in this world, to reflect on what it is, try to understand a little bit of the void that needs to be filled so that they can understand their own personal avoda. And I think that in the case of the Rashi's father, Zecharia Livracha, Rav Zecharia Center, Zecharia Livracha, Mechutin, our family, it's something that's doubly necessary. Aside from being a man of stature in Adam Gadol, the Bnei HaYeshiva, I think, have a specific choiva to try to be misboinin, because he had a tremendous yad in helping being make him this Makom Torah. He took tremendous pride in this Makom Torah, and therefore much of the limud that happens here, much of the aliyah and the growth that you all experience here in Eretz Yisrael while you're in the yeshiva is thanks to him and his efforts, and therefore it's much closer. It's something that I think it's necessary, and I want to take a few moments to try to reflect some of the aspects that I was aware of as I felt extremely close to Rav Center Zichron Livracha. And I want to talk about some of the things that that maybe we could take out of in our own lives and try to, each one in his own way, to try to fill that void. Of course, the void is, it's not something that's possible to fill. It was, but each person has the ability to take on himself something, to better himself in some way. And Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz writes there that there's an availability. When the person leaves this world, there's a certain shefa that person was zoicha to, that others have the ability now to tap into. You know, the ability to, so it's actually an opportunity. The Gemara says in Shabbos, the Gemara in Daf Kuf Hei, Gemara says, Amar Rav Shim ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shum Alevi, Kol Amayri Demois, Al Adam Kosher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Soifran Umenichan Beveis Ginozov. If a person sheds tears over the loss of an Adam Kosher, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts those tears and he places them in his Beis Ginozov, in his secret treasure houses. What exactly does that mean? What does it mean in Adam Kosher? And why would Hashem take the tears that are shed over an Adam Kosher and Dafka place them in his Beis Ginozov? So in order to try to understand the Gemara, we have to explain what we mean when we describe somebody as an Adam Kosher. What exactly is an Adam Kosher? The Rishiva spoke in his Hesped, and his father's Zechon Livracha, mentioned the fact that his father was not only involved in Kashrus, his life, much of his life was dedicated to Kashrus. Aside from being involved in Kashrus, he himself was an Adam Kosher. The person involved in Kashrus was an Adam Kosher, and it was a very appropriate description. Let's try to figure out what does that mean, Adam Kosher. What exactly is an Adam Kosher? The expression Adam Kosher is actually found in the Mishnah in Brachos, where Rav Gamliel says Rav Gamliel was Mekabel Tanchumen. He accepted people, or Menachem Avol, to comfort him over the loss of his Eved. Tevi, the Eved of Rav Gamliel, passed away, and he was Mekabel Tanchumen. He accepted Nichum Avelim. And his Talmidim asked him, Matan Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us that one is not Mekabel Tanchumen for an Eved? when a Yid dies, so then we say Hamakim Menachem Eschem B'Soich Sha'ar Avel Tzion V'Yerushalayim. Where Menachem, we say you should find comfort together with everybody else who is mourning the destruction of Tzion V'Yerushalayim. But when an Eved dies, so you talk to the person who lost his Eved in the same way that you would talk to a person who lost his Shoyr or his Chamor. That's what Gemara says. As if you were being Menachem a person for the loss of Shoyroi v'chamoyroi. You say, Amokayim yimali l'choch esroincha. When a person suffers a monetary loss, so you emote with him, and you sympathize, you tell him, I understand that you lost, but you relate to it like a monetary loss, and in the same vein, when a person loses an Evet, you also say, Hamokim malicha chesroincha, but you're not Menachem him the same way that you're Menachem a proper Yid. Understand that. What exactly is that idea of Mekabel Tanchum? You're not Mekabel Tanchum for an Evet. You only relate to it like a Shoyre v'chamoyre. Now, this isn't the only time that an Evet is treated or viewed by Chazal as is compared to a chamor. Where else do we find that an eved is compared to a chamor? The Gemara in Yevamah says an eved doesn't have chayis. There's no lineage, meaning that the child of the eved is not nesiachis after the father, because we learn after the pasuk says in the Akedah, Avraham Avinu tells Eliezer and Yishmael says shvu lachem poi im achamor. So Gemara Dashan's im means ha'doim l'chamor. Some say am ha'doim l'chamor. It's a comparison to a chamor. Why? What makes an eved doim to a chamor? Perhaps we figure out why an eved is considered he's doim to a chamor. We'll figure out why when you're menachem a person, you're menachem like you lost his chamor. The Gemara in Gittin says that Avda Befkeira Nichale. An Eved enjoys Hefkeiris. What's Hefkeiris? Hefkeiris is a total lack of discipline. A person does whatever is whims, desire. Whatever he wants to do, you follow your desires. Hefkeira Nichale. I can do whatever I want. Avda Befkeira Nichale. What causes that? What brings about the tchuna that an avd is behefkeira nichale? Listen, we all know that there are two parts to a person. A person has the seichel and the chomer. The seichel is intellect, and he has his physicality as the chomer. What causes a person to live a life of hefkeiris, to live according to his whims and his desires, is a total identification with his chomer. A person could view himself in one of two ways. I could see myself, I could identify with my chomer and say I'm just a physical being that happens to have the intellect, or I could identify with my seichel. Who's in the driver's seat? Now, if I view myself as a shtick chomer, if I view myself in the through the eyes of the guf of my chomrius, my physicality, then I allow that physicality to be in the driver's seat. My seichel becomes an eved to the chomer. If I live a life in which the seichel is in the driver's seat, then fakert, then the chomer is meshubed. You harness the chomer. The chomer is meshubed to the seichel. The people whose life is behefkeir nichale are doime to a chamor simply because the chomer is fully shoylet. Chamor is called chamor. It's al shem the chomer that is referred to that way. And when we're medamen eved to a chamor, this is what we mean. It actually plays out. I'll leave it to Hilchsa also, because he's so mufka from identifying with his seichel that he cannot have chayis. Lineage is something that happens when a person has a vision, when a person stands for something, but when a person is just like a shor or chamor, so then he may, whatever pushes him today to behave what his desires are asking for, that's what pushes him today. It's not going to be mashpia on the next door or on his moments later. There is no chayis. There's no hemshich. So the loss of an eved is very moving. It's like the loss of a chamor because all it is a monetary loss. It's unlike the nichum of a ben chayrin. A ben chayrin, we acknowledge that there's something eternal about the person. There's something otherworldly. There's something that is, we realize that there's a loss. Like we said, a loss that is difficult to fill and we can't be fully refilled. Similar to the way the world is a different place due to the absence of Tzion v'Yerushalayim. When you're Menachem, the person, you say, Amoki Menachem Eschem, you tell the Avil that Hashem should be Menachem you together with everybody else who's being this Avil on Tzion v'Yerushalayim. That means that we relate to the loss of this particular person the way that we relate to the loss of Tzion v'Yerushalayim. The world is a different place. It doesn't have the Ashras HaShchina that we had when the Beis HaMikdash was Kayim. And this person, also because he's a shtik elikus, he's a shtik ruchnius, so we're lacking that ruchnius in this world, and that's why you're menachem him differently. So it's a totally different way of relating to the loss. So that was what Ram Gamliel said to his Talmidim. He's a kosher. Kosher haya. So what did he mean by that? He says, Tevi, my eved is like yishar kol ha'avodim. He's not like all other avodim, kosher haya. Now it stands to reason. We know what personifies shar kol avodim, what defines shar kol avodim, is the tchuna of avda b'efkei renichale. So he's not kishar kol avodim. That means that kosher has to be the opposite of kishar kol avodim, the tchuna of Bethkei Renichale. He's kosher. Kosher means somebody that's proper, prepared, fit for a certain use. You see, when in halacha, in Tumah V'Taira, we know that when you want to make food susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah, we have something called Hechsher. You put liquid, one of the Shiva Mashkim on it, so then it's Mukhshir L'Kabbal Tumah. That means that it's set aside, it's susceptible, it's a Kli Kibbul. It's ready, it's designated for a certain thing, for its purpose. Once it's designated for a certain purpose, the Gemara says that once the Peirus are Hukshu, it's like a Tanish Enigma Malachti. It's like somebody that receives an identity. Somebody who has an identity. Somebody that is an Adam Kosher is somebody that has a purpose, lives his life with a purpose. So I would like to share a little bit of what it is that I see from my limited perspective. Some of the ingredients that made this great man an Adam Kosher. The first Nekuda, the first Inyan is very much what we were just talking about, the idea of discipline. We mentioned that the main identifying characteristic of an Adam Kosher is the fact that he's not Befkei Renichale. He knows what it means to live a life of discipline. He lives according to his intellect. It was told at the Levaya something that to me was totally not a surprise. Not surprising at all. It was very moving to me. But I was, knowing Rabbi Center, I was totally not surprised. It was a fascinating story. The story was told about the fact that when he was 12 years old, he wanted to learn in a Jewish school. He was in public school. And he wanted to go learn in a Jewish school. And he came there and asked if he could be admitted to the school. And he was told that you're not on the level of the students in this school. So he went, a 12-year-old boy, he went and sat together with 7-year-old children in the same class. As they described, a large person, he didn't even fit in the seat, the desk that they gave him. And he excelled. The next year, he was already up to his level. Like I said, I was very moved by the story. I mean, we heard about Rabbi Akiva, that he was willing to sit with little children. When do we hear such stories? It's remarkable. But I wasn't surprised at all. Because he was a man who lived according to what his intellect told him to do. What was the right thing to do? If a person lives according to his intellect, he lives a disciplined life. And the fact that the whims and desires of the Chaimer might be as such that they don't like the situation, it's difficult, it's hard, I'm not down for this particular behavior, but it doesn't make a difference because this is what I believe is the right thing to do. Let's take it a step further. Let's go back to that Gemara that I started with. The Gemara says that if a person is moir demois on an adam kosher, so Hashem takes those tears and puts it bebeis kinozov, the secret treasure houses of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why is he putting those tears in the beis kinozov? I think that the answer is that the beis kinozov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a place of pnimius. Somebody who is an adam kosher does not live a life of externals. He lives a life of panemius. He's real, he's genuine. The beis genozov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his secret treasure houses, are secret because they don't lend themselves to the chitzoniistic world that we know of. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has matana toiva in his beis genozov called Shabbos. Shabbos is that day when we tap into the neshama of the Bria. We're not involved in the external chelik of the Bria, the guf of the Bria. We're connected to the neshama. It says that Yiras Hashem, hi oitzare, the beis kinozov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, houses something called Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim is something that only can exist if a person lives a life of pnimius. As Rashi says several times in Chumash, V'yaresem elikecha ani Hashem. It's something that is between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yiras Shamayim. Rabbi Senter, Zichrono Livracha, was a man who was so not into externals. You know, Klal Yisrael used to refer to an individual who was a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. The standard expression, when you wanted to talk about a person who was observant, you called him an Erlich Yid. Erlich. At some point, it changed from the, instead of referring to him as an Erlich Yid, we call a person a Frum Yid. Erlich has the connotation of a person who's upright, upstanding, genuine, and honest. Frum means that the person is religious, he's observant. The stress used to be much more on Panemius. He was certainly a very religious and committed and observant person, a very frum man, but this frumkeit was rooted in Ehrlichkeit. He lived with a sense of commitment because he lived in an honorable way. I don't think I ever met somebody that was more genuine. There's certain people, when you meet them, you feel that they're echad bepeh, echad belev. There was something so charming about the way that he was genuine. When he told you something, you knew that what he said to you was exactly what he was thinking. Another nekuda is that because he wasn't into externals, he did not know the meaning of the word covet. Covet was not, it wasn't part of his frame of reference. I shouldn't say that, because he knew how to be mechabed other people. He knew how to be mechabed people that were much younger than him. I'll tell you that personally, I felt extremely respected by him. It was he respected people. I felt valued by him. But what was incredible when you saw his deep, deep covet that he had for Talmid Chachamim, it was off the charts. His covet for his Rebbeim, was said, was mentioned quite a few times at a Levaya, the reverence that he had for his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik Zichrono Livracha, his other Rebbeim, and not only his Rebbeim, any Talmud Chacham. Any Talmud Chacham was somebody that was worthy of his respect, of reverence. It wasn't just a respect, it wasn't a patronizing respect. He genuinely respected and looked up to and gave kavod and honor to Talmid Chachamim. You know, I'm reminded of a story that, just to show how he related to any Talmud Chacham. Like I said, his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, was to him part of the Mesoris HaTorah, and he looked up to Rav Soloveitchik more than I've seen most people look up to their Rebbe. He had incredible kavod. And yet, one time he was talking about a story where Rav Soloveitchik got up and he gave a hesped on his cousin, the Brisker Rav. And he said some sort of comment in this drasha, how the Brisker Rav was the only one who displayed a certain strong kanos against Tzionim, against the Medina, or something like that. I don't remember exactly the quote, but the flavor of what he was saying is that the Brisker Rav is the only one who was willing to take a stand. And a man, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, one of the biggest Talmud Chachamim around, got up in the middle of the drasha and yelled, "This man was just mevaza the Chazon Ish," because that Talmud Chacham felt that he said he was the only one. So Rav Senter Zichrono Livracha used to tell me over the story, and it was remarkable because he had such reverence for his Rebbe, and you would think that somebody who attacked his Rebbe, he would get a big X on him. In other words, he would just cancel that person and say, you know, that person is an oisbarf, look what he does. He, in the middle of my Rebbe's speech, he said to me, "You should know that a certain Talmud Chacham got up." He says, "That Talmud Chacham said kach v'kach, and I think he was wrong. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and I have utmost respect for him, but I really think he was wrong. That's not what the Rav meant. This isn't what the Rav meant." It was very calculated and intellectual, and his kavod for a Talmud Chacham wasn't undermined. He had kavod for every single Talmud Chacham. And I'm stressing this because anybody who knew how much he respected the Rav would have expected him to look at this other Talmud Chacham as somebody that wasn't worthy of his respect. But no, he had a different perspective. He says, "I really believe that he was wrong. That's not what the Rav was saying." He said it a few times. "That's not what the Rav meant." So, and I say that he didn't know what the word kavod means. He had tremendous kavod for others, for Talmid Chachamim, but for himself, I don't think he understood the concept of kavod. It's not something that talked to him b'chlal. People who are into kavod, do things for kavod, generally do it because of the way it looks on the outside, the way it looks to other people. But that's the Alma de Shikr. That has to do with this world, the external world, but not the real world, not the world where the Seichel comes from. That may be the world where the Chaimer comes from. So I feel that I'm validated by other people. What does that do for me? It's not real. The world is an Alma de Shikra. In Adam Kasher, not only is not governed by his physicality, he's also not governed by the sheker of this world. So when I say that he acted in an honorable way, he acted in a way, he was a man who lived a life of kavod, a kavod be'etzen. Somebody gets shayach to the beis genoz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a place of pnimius, a place behechaloi kuloi oimer kavod, a place where there's kavod be'etzen, and then you don't need the kavod of the externals, the kavod of this world. You know, he was a successful businessman, but his demeanor was one which was b'chlal, not only was it not flashy, there was a simplicity to the way that he conducted himself. It was a beautiful simplicity. he had an incredible midas emes, a bikush for emes, always striving to uncover the emes, and he was unwavering. It's known that in the tchum of echsherim, he was uncompromising. Everything had to be done in an erlich way, in an honest way. I think that the one quality that I was taken by, perhaps the most, I shouldn't say I all the qualities. You know, there was that midas ha'emes was something that was. It was almost like a childlike innocence. Somebody who lived in you know, a genuine life of integrity. But there was one tchuna that I also noticed by him that I haven't mentioned yet that was that I was most taken by. And that was the incredible passion and vigor that he would use when he would exude when he was relating Divrei Torah. That was unmatched. You know, the first time that I met him, when Rashiva got engaged to my sister, he came across as somewhat reserved. And that's because he wasn't a chatter. He wasn't a person who was one to make small talk. That makes sense if you're a person who's dominated by his seichel. You are interested in things that stimulate the intellect, and small talk is not. But the moment he started sharing Divrei Torah, he became animated, alive, full of passion. He would bellow when he would say over a Dvar Torah, when he would say over something that he heard from the Rav, or one of his own insights, or a thought. He would every fiber of his being would be involved. He would raise his voice, and he left an impression. He was actually a very, very skillful orator. He knew how to give it over. So that was when I first met him. I noticed that I thought he was a reserved person, somebody that I couldn't get close to, but somebody who was merely an intellectual. As I got to know him better, I actually enjoyed a tremendous closeness, because as soon as I realized that this was a man of substance, you find something to relate. He had tremendous care for other people. He really cared genuinely, but genuine in a premiumistic way. We had many conversations, always conversations that were substantive. Even his jokes, you know, he was very good at telling over jokes, and they were also told in a very skillful way, always with an intelligent punchline. It was with chachma. These are some of the inyanim that I was zoicha to see by Rav Senta Zichrono Livracha, and something that is less common nowadays. Like I said, it's a dar that's a little bit more into externals, chitzonius, connected, unfortunately, to the alma de shikra. You don't often see people who are that genuine. People with the midas emes, that integrity, and people live a life of discipline because they're living according to their intellect. Rav Senta Zichrono was very, very proud of his children, especially the children that are involved in chinuch and arbotzes ha-toyra. The yeshiva carries the legacy of anoshim ksheirim. I began by saying that there's a void that needs to be filled. It's very clear what that void is. Starting to identify not with our chomer, but with our seichel. Trying to lead more disciplined lives. I don't mean that we're all great intellectuals. He was a brilliant mathematician, a brilliant person, but we all have the chelik ha-seichel, and what is being choitzitz between us, it's not giving us access to our seichel, is the thickness of the chomer. You know, I always marveled at the Rosh Hashiva's derech in chinuch, and I think that it's rooted in his past. Many people today understand that you have to embrace a Talmud. I think that everybody's preaching love. Maybe he was the first that started. But some make the mistake of thinking that means that you have to indulge the Talmud. And sometimes what that does is you indulge him in the Avda Be'efkeira Nichale. You're indulging him in you know, you're okay and you're good, everything you do is fine because I love you. And the message has to come across very, very clear to the Talmud that you love him and that you'll do anything for him. But what is it about him that you love? You love that chelik haneshama, you love the chelik haseichel, and for his own good, you don't want him to live a life of hefkeira nichale. You know, people had tainus when the Rashiva was the first one to get up to say that, you know what, I'm not going to allow certain things. I'm not going to allow smartphones. You know, a smartphone, what it does is a person is giving himself access to Avdav Efker Nichole with one click, to pulling people off the streets. But wait a minute, I thought you loved them. I thought everything that they do is fine. So where does discipline come from? Discipline harnesses the goof. If the Talmud is aware that you genuinely love him, then you're willing to help him harness the Efker Nichole of the goof. So you can unleash the unlimited capacity of the seichel, of the neshama. You're so big. Your neshama is so big. Don't make yourself small. Avda b'efkeir nichalei makes you into an eved. You want to become an eved to the chomer. What is the chomer? The chomer is here today, gone tomorrow. You're so eternal. Become an eternal person. He left an indelible impression on every person that came in contact with him. And my tefillah is that first of all should be a melech yosher for his whole family, and befrat my I'm in this makam, I'm being mispalled to the Ribbono Shel Olam that it should be a melech yosher for his dear son who was so proud of, and that the Reshiva Shlita should have siyata d'shmaya in continuing to carry on his legacy, in continuing to bring the message to Bachrim that you have the ability to connect to something higher. And try not to identify with your chelek ha-chomer. We're not avodim. I'm a doim el-chamor. Bernsham should give siyata d'shmaya to continue to make him proud. And he should be meil tzioysher for the entire family. The yeshiva should have continued hatzlacha l'orich yom v'shan.
Learn a famous Rambam, and some Yukim, and we'll see the Kesha. The Rambam says in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, in Mitzayach Shmiras Nefesh, the Gemara Makis, Daf Yud. Right. Talmud Shigolo. A Talmud killed someone by mistake. Talmud Shigolo L'Ori Miklot. So the Rebbe has to follow. His Rebbe has to follow him to Golos. Megalon Rabbi Imoy. That's the Gemara in Makis. The Rebbe has to go with him. How do you know? So what means the pasuk? Asher yonus el orim or el v'chai. Shenema v'chai. Rabbi has to go to Golis. What's after with v'chai? Asay loy kidei sheyichia. Make sure he's alive. What kind of lie? What are you talking about? So the Rambam, he explains the Gemara. V'chaye bali chochma umavaksheha b'loy Talmud kemisa chashuvim. Right, this Talmud without his Rebbe is like Misa. So the Rebbe has to go. V'chein, the reverse, Harab Shagola, the Rebbe killed by mistake. Megalin Yeshivasa Imoy, the Talmidim have to go with the Rebbe. Because he, again, as the Rambam explains, Chay Bali Chochma, Maksheho, Beloy Talmud Kemisa. Now, this halacha of keeping him alive is brought down also Gemara, but all kinds of different cases that physically alive. For example, physically alive, you make him on the way to Ohi Miklot. There's a river. It'll be hard for him to run away. So you make a bridge that he should be able to run away to the Ohi Miklot. And then he has to have food and drink in the Ohi Miklot. So you bring in a supermarket into this Ohi Miklot. He should not have to go out. If he goes out for food, they'll kill him. That guy's out to kill him. You bring in water and shvokim, supermarkets, ancient mine, bring pipes in. Also, there should be a strong population. Why? With big, good police. If the girl at bomb comes to kill him, there should be enough police to protect him. Make sure he's alive. Right, protect him from the girl at bomb. Also, you don't make factories, because the girl at them will get a job there in the factory, and they'll kill him. No factories. All kinds of things protect his life, physically. And among these things that protect his life physically, his Rebbe comes. You see from here, and the Rambam explains it. It's not that without his Rebbe, by his Talmud, he's spiritually dead. No! He's physically dead. You say, Teres Hashem Tzimim, Shivas Nefesh, it's Bekuach Nefesh. It's Bekuach Nefesh. That is known. Actually, there's a Gemara in Brachos, famous Gemara, Daf Lamed Beis. I forgot who this was davening Shemin Esrei, and the Sar came, and he spoke to him. He did not answer him. He ignored the Sar, davening Shemin Esrei. So the Sar said to him, he was a goy, but he learned something. He said, aren't you Jews careful about the Pikuach Nefesh? I could have killed you. Doesn't it say in your Bible, and he quoted two psukim, Nishmartim Ma'od L'Nafshi Seichem? I could have killed you. And he quoted another pasuk he quoted, Rakishom Alachosh for Nafshachom Yoy Pentishkach Sadvom Ashro Inecho. Pentishkach Sadvom Ashro Inecho. Shor Nafshachom Ma'od. Pentishkach Sadvom Ashro Inecho. He answered him that if you would be speaking to your king, you wouldn't interrupt. I was speaking to the king. That was a good answer. He accepted it. But the psukim that you jeopardized your life, that he quoted, one makes sense. Shmat nafshe seichem, I could have killed you. What's this other pasuk? You shouldn't forget your learning. So what do you see from over here? If you forget your learning, not just spiritual, shmat nafshe seichem. This is known, and this is not what I came to tell you, because I like to say chidushim. This is known. As a matter of fact, there's even a story that one Talmud Chacham, a friend of a Rav, came to visit him, and before he came to, he saw in the cemetery all kind of matzevis buried here. This person's name, 3 years old. Another one, 5 years old. Another matzeva, 2 years old. What's going on over here? So he went to the Rav, Rosh Yeshiva, said, "What's epidemic over here? Why are you asking that?" He says, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. No, he left Yeshiva after 2 years. He left Yeshiva after 3 years. That's it. That's just, he died after 2 years. Physical. It's not a story. It's a Rambam. He says, "Chai by Bali Chochmum Vaksheho." Beloy Talmud Kemisa Chashuvim. So you have to send him a Rebbe, just like you have to send him a supermarket that the Goy Adam shouldn't kill him. You send him a Rebbe, physicals. That I knew all the time. That Rambam Shutim, and I printed this in my Megad, that there was a time when there was a strong possibility that Rav Moshe's son-in-law discovered a cure to cancer. And even called Rafuin, written up all the papers, the magazines, Rafuin. Anyway, someone said to Moshe, "Well, look at that, your son will discover the cure to cancer." Guess what Moshe said? "It was not worth the bitul Torah it caused them." He just told you. "It was not worth the bitul Torah it caused them." It's death. It's also death. Okay. This I knew. What tonight I'm coming to tell you is, and what's appropriate to the subject. The Gemara and the Rambam talk about a Rebbe and a Talmud. A Rebbe and a Talmud. If you look carefully in the Rambam, he's telling you what is a Rebbe and what is a Talmud. He changes the word Rebbe and he changes the word Talmud. Rebbe chaye balya chochma umavaksheho v'loy Talmud kemisa chashuvim. Instead of Rebbe, he uses bali chochma. Instead of Talmud, no, it's Mvaksheho. Mvaksheho. Mvakesh. In other words, you have a Talmud, he comes to every shir, knows the shir perfectly. He takes a bechina 100%. Knows every shir cold. Then misses the shir. If he goes to Golos, does the Rebbe follow him? No! He's not what's a Talmud? That's a chiddush tonight. What's a Talmud? Mavaksheho. A mavakesh. He's mavakesh. He not just knows the shear. He wants to know the shear. And he nudges the head off the Rebbe. Right. Doesn't let him go. I'm a vakesh. That's a Talmud. You see this in Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel. It says, Yaakov ish tam, Yoshev eholim. Right? Everybody knows the pasuk. Yaakov ish tam, Yoshev eholim. Sat in yeshiva. He learned. Who's yeshiva? Who's yeshiva that he learning? So Rashi says, it's the Medrash, Yoshev eholim, always shall shame, always shall aver. Right, Yoshev eholim. The Targum Yonason says, Meshameis v'beid midrosha, it's a shame, leaves that aver. Yeah, it has aver, but it's midrosha the aver. Right, okay. And he adds five words. Tova ufan kodem Hashem. Tova mevakesh ufan tyra min kodem Hashem. It wasn't just he learned by them, sat in the yeshiva. Tova ufan min kodem Hashem. The duck on Yeshiva Holim doesn't say Shein Veva. He says, whenever Talmud Chacham came to the city, he ran to him. Eholim, a million Eholim. A million Eholim. Tova Ufon. That's the Talmud. Vaksheho. You have the word Tova Ufon in another place, in Targum Yonason. There's a story here, which Chora, no one understands. After the Chet Egel, the miserable Chet Egel, which was Avodah Zorah, it wasn't Avodah Zorah. Chazal say it was Nus. Like all these shows to Egel, Elahat HaMarayis, the Kum LeTzachek. Officially it was Avodah Zorah. Behind the lines was a Znus. And they're supposed to be killed. Right? So what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu was in Spalo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Salachti Kedvarecha, and he forgave them. However, in Kisiso it says, Hashem said to Moshe, okay, get going to Eretz Yisrael. Get going. And he says, I cannot go with you. I cannot go with you because you sin. And if I'll be, the Shekhinah will be there, you'll be destroyed right away. I'm going to send a Malach. Shalach lefanech a Malach. And he will succeed. V'girashti sakhnani, v'mori, v'chivi, v'aprizi, v'chivi, v'ayusi. El eretz erach ha'advosh. He loy elubikir b'cha, I cannot go with you. He am ksheirav ato, and you're going to be rebel again. Pen achel chov aderech, I'll have to destroy you. So I'm going to send a malach. So then, v'yishma ha'om, z'adob hara azeh, v'yisabolu, Hashem is leaving them. They will avail him. V'yishosav ish, as Edjoy Olav, but he got the Ksorim, they got Hasinai, didn't wear them. Hashem, what Hashem say, he saw them, so the morning. Can't help it. Can't help it. Can't. V'im Hashem, El Moshe, Emor Bnei Yisrael, at Am Ksheyoref, you're mourning. I can't go with you. Rega Echod, Ela Bekir B'chol Chilisicha. Right. V'ata hurried Edzichon Elecha, the Edom Ha'esaloch. I'll see. Anyway, Moshe. So then a few psukim later, not many psukim. A mystery. About 10 psukim after that. V'yoymer, where is it? A few psukim afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ponayelecho, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. I'll lead you. Netziv says, I'm going to have a lot of nachas. What's the nachas? What happened in between? They mourned and didn't help. What happened in between? They changed the gzera law. I cannot go with you. Impossible. You're going to sin again and I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to send a malach. What happened in between? I'll tell you what happened. Look in the psukim. What happened in between is Hashem left the Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted his keshu with Hashem. What did Moshe do? He took his oil. Moshe yikach his oil. When not a loy, michutz lamachane, he moved hachik min lamachane. He also left. Right? But kol loy, oil moyed. He gave it. What oil moyed? So the uncle says over here, not regular oil moyed, base ufana, a yeshiva. He called it, hung up a sign, Adar Satara, on his oil, outside, far, far, far away. A remarkable thing happened. He called it, base medrash, Adar Satara, oil moyed. A stream of Jews, getting stronger and stronger, Yetzei, El Oil Moir, Hashem Yichutz Lamachne. They started going out of the Machne, to Moshe Ben's new Beis Medrash. Every day more and more, V'kol, Mevakish Hashem, Kol Mevakish Hashem, Yetzel Olamoyed, Zokti, Hulk Mavakish Hashem, and it says, a second, yeah, Zokti Tarim Unison, Harikorile Mishkan Beis Ulfano, right. Vahoyo, kol man dahadar v'sevusa b'leib shalim, kodam Hashem, ha'v'nofak, like l'mashkin beis ulfano. But like Yaakov Avinu, tova ulfano. There's the vakish beis ulfano. They went out to hear Rebbe. We need a shear. You need a shear. Mevakshe Hashem. Mevaksheho, the Rambam says. Mevakshe Hashem. The Tov Ulfano. So Koshbo says, look at that. Look at that. These guys want to learn. They want to learn. What Averis? Don't bother me with Averis. I'm coming back. Mevakshe Hashem. Don't bother me. Give me the kind of couple of Averis. Right. It's machaper, everything. They're thirsting for learning. Mevakshe Hashem. They were Talmidim. No Averis. And if you look at Chaim Volozhiner, is a whole sefer. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, it was required learning. Shah Dalid. He writes over there about Averis. And he writes, Persha Dalid, Minatama ze, Eisek Atoiro, not Toiro, Eisek Atoiro, Mechaperis al kol hu avoinoi shal nefesh chaitas. All our errors are gone. Right, of course you have to do tshuva, but all our errors are gone. What's Eisek HaTorah? Mevakish Torah. Right. Lasting with the Yisroel. These are what he wrote in his conversations. They printed. He writes over here. Shalti. I asked Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Echad nichshal bavon keri rachmon utzlan kemat bemezid. Veheshiv. This is all conversation. Kol ha'oiskim batoira, ein lehem lidoi klal. Mevakish Hashem, ein lehem lidoi. What lidoi mean? Don't worry about it so much. That is mevakish Hashem. Tova ufano. Hashem, I cannot be with these people. Chet the ego, shmutz. Then he said, come to learn. Mevakish Hashem. Mevakish Hashem. Whoa. Oh, that's something else. That's a different thing. That's not very. Don't bother me. Yeah. That's pona yalechu vani choisi loch. That's tov ufano, Yaakov Avinu. Tov ufano. I'll give you an example. At the Talmud Yeshiva Tomo, for another rabbi's family, his father's doctor, cardiologist, and he flew me in for his wedding. Okay? So, I get a phone call from Lakewood. We have a lot of guys in Lakewood and Tomo that I should say a share for them. And it was an afternoon wedding, and been a storm, I couldn't get close. But COVID is COVID, so say a share in Lakewood. So I agreed. I barely made it back in time. I said a share in Lakewood. And I come back. I hear a fantastic voice. It was the band. So I said, whose voice is that? I didn't catch the last name. The first name was Lippa, somebody or other. Lippa something, yeah. Anyway, fantastic band. It was a high-level wedding over there. Anyway, so, there's a Talmud, Simcha Lang in Lakewood. In your time, Simcha Lang? Simcha Lang, in your time. He's like the Gabbai, all the guys in Tomo. Very chosho younger man. He comes over to me, he came to the wedding. He said, Rebbe, you want nachas? I say, sure. Okay, I'll tell you what happened. The chosen was coming from the chuppah, after the chuppah, with the kala, to the yichud room. He saw Simcha. He says to the kala, excuse me a minute. He runs over to Simcha and says, what did Rebbe say in Lakewood today? Fast. What did Rebbe say in Lakewood today? That. That's Vaksheha. Understand? So he said, you have nachas. I said, I see a better shin than she does. So, anyway. American boy. Went to modern high school also. Right. Anyway. I want to tell you some history now. When I first started learning by the Rav, it's when I was of Jelovichik. So, I will tell you his schedule. Let me tell you his schedule. He would fly in. He lived in Boston, Brookline, Massachusetts. He would fly in on Tuesday, and he said, two different groups, two shurim, he said, two mesechtas. Like one was regular Gemara, one was something based on Aloha so they can get smicha or something. Like it was, let's say, 11 till... There was no shi in his mind less than 2 hours. Yeah. Impossible. Right. So it's 11 to about 1:10. Then he took a coffee. Next year. In and out. Next. Each school is about 75 boys, 60 boys. And next year. Different mesechta. Right. I remember 1 year was Baba Kama, then Shabbos was the Halacha one. 1 year was Gittin, neither was the second. And then 1 year was Kedushin, Yoridea. And that's what he did, two shurim. 1 to 3:15, and that was the second shiur. Wednesday, he said she like 9 o'clock, 9:15, till about 12, longer. And then 12:15 till about 3, second shiur. That. Second group. Then he go back. to Boston. So he was totally in New York about 30 hours. That's all. 30 hours he was in New York. That's it. Right. Besides that, Tuesday, two shurim, Tuesday night, he said his shiur in a shul for Belgian Balabatim and some rabbanim in the neighborhood. The shul was called Maria. That was the shul. It was different, the style in the morning than at night. For in the morning, he took hard sugyas and developed yesodos and lumdus. He'd say one pshat, and then change his mind, and then the second pshat, yeah. And work, right. Matter of fact, he repeated, one boy asked him, Rebbe, you said you repeated yourself 12 times. Said so you were not listening. You were 12 different answers. You were not listening. Hear that? Anyway, then the next day he changed mine to all 12. That was his shita. All possibilities. Right. It was great. Also, he listened to you if he had something to say. Tuesday night, at night, he did it different. He picked a mesechta, worked out perfectly already, and slow, and say, Yesodos Niflois, a big part of the Hari Kedem, mentions Rosoima, is from the Tuesday night. So Balabatim and Rabbonim, for over 2 hours, again, no shiur less than 2 hours. Then Chumash, a half an hour. And then Ma'ariv. Right, that was Tuesday night, in Maria, on the west side. Now, he had in the morning, the two groups, about 120 Talmidim, they didn't come to this Maria Shir. That's a Balabatim, Rabbonim. They didn't come. Had 120 boys, some married guys, they didn't come to the Maria Shir. Had 130 boys, didn't come to Maria Shir. One guy came. One guy came. One Talmud came, and his name was Chaya Center. Again, between the two groups, 130. But not one came. 120. Not one guy came. One guy came. Chaya Center came. How do I know? So if I had to show Mr. Sheer and I was sick, I needed notes. I ran to Zchari. He took fantastic notes. He understood the shiur. So what could I say about him? One word tonight. I came tonight to tell you that Zchari sent was a Talmud. He was a Talmud. A Mavakish. Tova Ufana. A Mavakish. A Talmud. He was a Talmud. Again. And I want to tell you something. This Messiah of his, he brought with Matzliach to pass down to Yosh Hashiva over here. Right. I've been watching Yosh Hashiva after he left Tomo. He went to Pesach, Best Bochum Pesach. And then he came back to Mir. No. He arranged the Chavrusha Shaf. With one of the biggest lamdonim in the country, of David Kohen. Right? Chavrusha Shaf of David Kohen. That's a Talmud. That's a Mavakesh. That's a Tova Ufana. The B'schayu is Matzlich and passing this down to Mavakesh Hashem. Tova Ufana. Tova Ufana Me'es Hashem. Right? And Baruch Hashem, I can see he's passing on that Messer to you, not just to learn, to thirst for vort, to thirst, right, to hear something new. What? And that he got from Yeshua himself. He'd kill you for a vort. Yeshiva, a new word. A bikush. I remember that I called up the Rav Chalamoyed. I called up the Rav with a pen and paper. What are you doing? It's Chalamoyed. I'm writing a sefer Hari Kedem right now. Yeah. So I called up. This is the last years. And his daughter answered the phone. I said, can I speak to the Rav? So she said, he's not available. Who's calling? I said, the Simuchu Shurkin calling. Oh, my father said if you call, he's taking a nap, you should call back. Why? I prepared the whole Yom Tov with material that to enable him to say a new word. With kashes, you know that? So call back, right, to say a new word. All right. So I want to tell you one thing. This Deacon Rambam, Rav Talmud, Vaksheho, is a new word. Chusa Yogan Olenu. The biggest compliment I can send anybody is the Talmud.